once again. And welcome to all of you. What is today? Father's Day. So before we go into the word this morning, I want to extend to all of our fathers here today and to every father who's listening, have a blessed, great Father's Day. Now this morning, I really want to touch on a subject, you know, that is much, much bigger than I am. And I know that I'm still constantly growing in, and I know I will continue to grow in until one day when I will see the Lord and as well as us all. But I really, you know, I really sensed from the Lord this week that I should talk about it. And I mean, the more we speak about things from the Word of God, the more real they become to us. You know, it's funny how you can know a certain truth, you've heard it in the past, but sometimes just to rehear it again and it just brings it back to life and you think, you know, I kind of forgot about it, or I don't make a point of going there and meditating on it. And I mean, there, when it comes to the things of God and how wonderful He is, I mean, there are so many things we could meditate on every day. So there's just something that I want to talk about this morning that I believe the Lord wanted me to do. And if you want to give a title to our message this morning, it is Understanding the Heart of a Father. And I thought this was a good word today because it is Father's Day. Understanding the Heart of a Father. Now, all of us here today in this room can agree on this, that men and women are very different. Even Adam says, oh yeah. Adam, what would you know about it? Well, yeah, I guess he's got sisters. Men and women in their overall makeup are very, very different. And even though a man and a woman, when they get married, they do become one in the eyes of God. And even though they become one, they still have very, very different roles to play. Amen. Amen. But each role, the role of the man and the role of the woman, you can't say that one is more important than the other. And that's sometimes where the problem comes in. We each have different roles, but equally as important in the marriage. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, when the Apostle Paul prays, he says, I bow my knee before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom all families in heaven and earth are called and named. In other words, all fatherhood comes from and derives its name from one Father, our Heavenly Father. That's what that means. All fatherhood in the natural derives its title, its name, and its meaning, and everything about it from our Heavenly Father. So the characteristics that are inherent to most earthly fathers, now I say most because there are, I guess, fathers out there who may not have the characteristics that I'm talking about this morning, but in general, the average father, man who is a father, has these characteristics. So what it's saying is so all of the characteristics that make a father are inherited or inherent from the Father, who is our Heavenly Father. Amen? For the most part, the characteristics that most fathers possess are placed into them by our Heavenly Father. Fathers are really, really unique individuals. At times, fathers can be very, very misunderstood. They can be misunderstood because of the strong characteristics that they have that all come from being a father. And one of the most dominant characteristics common to almost all fathers is what? What would you say is the most common characteristic that is dominant in every man that is a father. It is this. It is to be a good provider. It is dominant in every father. The mother, on the other hand, it's not Mother's Day today. We were not talking about her characteristics. But the mother has other dominant features. But the father, the most dominant characteristic of any father is to be a provider for his family or a good provider for his family. Now, how important, first question, how important is it for the father to be a good provider? How important is it to the father to be a good provider to his wife and his children? It's very important. In fact, the self-worth of the father is wrapped up in it. The self-worth, now I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you how it is with fathers. The very self-worth of a father is wrapped up in his ability to provide well for his family and his children. So question, where does this dominant characteristic come from? From God. Definitely from God. From God, who is the maker and provider of all things. In fact, God provided for all of us first. Okay, now I want you to get this morning. God provided for us first, before he made us. In other words, he provided the earth for man. He provided the earth for man, not man for the earth. We've got it twisted in our day today. God provided the earth. He created the earth for man. It's man's playground, so to speak. Okay? And it was God's provision. God created the heavens. You know, I'm going to stop there and say something. You know, in the day in which we live today, it seems to be reversed. God created the earth for man. And man has it backwards. You know, because today it's more about saving the earth than it is about saving the people. I think that if we spent as much money in trying to save our people and feed the hungry as we do in pouring into environmental issues and all kinds of things, I don't think there would be anybody starving on the face of the earth today. And God never called us to save the planet, but he called us to save the people. We've got it backwards. And so, but I want you to get something this morning. God did not create man for the earth, but earth for man. It was his provision, his playground. God created the heavens and the earth. On the first day, God said, "Let there be light." On the fifth day, God finished the provision. What does number five stand for? Grace. God has provided all things by his grace. Then on the sixth day, he created his man, which he put into his grace. And on the seventh day, we all rested. Amen? Okay, let's keep going. I'm going somewhere here. So the earth was God's provision for man, his playground. And if God provided for the playground, in other words, when he made the earth as a playground, he put birds in it, he put fish in the sea, he put trees, lakes. I mean, everything, especially at this time of the year, when you go outside, you can't help but thank God for all the things he's made, for it's beautiful. When creation is green and alive, it is absolutely beautiful. Anybody not agree with me? And he did it all for you and I. He provided a beautiful world for us to live in. So if God, even in his provision, and he provided birds in the air, all the beautiful birds, and they sing in the morning. And the Bible tells us that he feeds the birds. The birds don't worry. If God feeds the birds, plus he provides grass every day, beautiful fresh green grass, which at the end of the day, it says, is thrown into the oven and burned and dries up. And then the next day, God provides again. How much more will he not provide for you? We're talking about the heart of the Father being number one, provision. So he not only provided the earth, but he provides for the earth to continue in its beauty for you. He didn't create the earth for himself. He created it for you. He makes the world beautiful. He clothes it with green grass, with green trees, even though at the end of the day, it might dry up and he has to start over the next day. So if God provides faithfully for the things of creation, which he created for you, will he not much more provide for you? Even you and I, the Bible says, who are evil, know how to give good things to our children. How much more is our Father in heaven going to give and provide good things for his children? Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. In other words, let's put this into perspective. We are fathers, the earthly fathers. We have children. Now remember, I'm talking about God providing the earth for you, not you for the earth. So you have a child. And Diane, her and Donald go into one room in their home and they decided this room is going to be for our child. And I mean they spend to the max. They buy the best of everything. This room is absolutely beautiful. And they have spared no expense on anything. Most beautiful crib. And then the baby comes along. But they starve the baby. They put the baby in this beautiful room. And they make sure the room continues to be beautiful. Diane dusts it and polishes it every day, scrubs the floor, and just keeps everything just perfect. But they do not feed the baby. Now that's a picture of the baby for the room. And not the room for the baby. And that's what I want you guys to see this morning. God beautifies this earth we live in. He looks after the earth that he created for us. Is he going to let you starve? That would be like just what I said. Making this beautiful room for your baby. And then putting the baby in. And not feeding the baby. And not putting clothes on the baby. And just let the baby is like an ornament in the room. And the room is more important than the baby. And that's what God's trying to tell us in these scriptures. If I feed the birds, which I created for your enjoyment, am I not going to feed you? And so how can we not see the heart of our Father in that scripture when you really think about it? It's silly. Em's going, well, you wouldn't just not feed your baby. Of course, anybody can see that. And yet we doubt. We are anxious about what we're going to eat and what we're going to wear and all, you know. And God's saying, why are you worried about that? Don't you get it? You know, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to clothe you. Those are the basic necessities of your life. Why would you even worry about it? So this is not the case with the heart of the Father. The basic needs of your child come before his room or anything else. The basic needs of the child are first and foremost in the heart of a father. In fact, because of the father's nature and a very strong desire or characteristic, I'll say this morning, to be a good provider, that many of our earthly fathers can get so focused on providing that they forget to enjoy. They forget there's more than just this provision. And so I say again, fathers many times are misunderstood. And then children grow up thinking, Daddy doesn't care. Daddy was never there for me. but totally misunderstanding that sometimes fathers have such a strong drive to be a good provider that they just work, and it's all about providing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So today, if that describes your dad, we need to cut him some slack. Because sometimes, you know, if we only knew the heart of the father, you know, I think we misjudge and we read things a lot of times that are not even there. So sometimes dads can forget about the other needs of their children. And I believe that's where moms come in and pick up the slack many, many times. You know, things like the emotional needs of children. And daddy just works. And sometimes kids can say, daddy just doesn't care. He's never home. He never has time for anything but work. But what I want us to understand this morning is that even though sometimes this father may never say to his children much, I love you, and he might not spend a lot of time with his children, but his love language is to provide. The love language of a dad is to provide. Dads are not mushy like mom as much. Not in general. Moms are the ones who are always hugging and, you know, come, I love you, and blah, 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 all those nice little cuddly things. But dads don't, not often. I mean, maybe when the children are really little. Dads are not nearly as emotional. But I believe that the love language of the father's heart is to provide. God so loved, he gave. That is the love language of a man, of a father, is to provide. It's not about what he says, it's about what he does. Amen? And we need to see that and understand that about fathers. He gets this, his love language to provide, from the Heavenly Father. I just read John 3:16. God so loved that he provided, or he gave. Same word. The Bible also tells us in John chapter 15, Gospel of John 13, greater love has no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. And many times we will never know how many sacrifices our fathers made for our provision. You know, we might be at the other end and say, well, dad's never home, but we have no idea how many things he gave up so that he could buy you something nice, or that he could provide for you. And really, fathers expect nothing in return, do they? What does a father really want? Or what, you know, when fathers do that, it's a natural, inherent characteristic of the Heavenly Father to provide, expecting really nothing in return except that they see that their children are blessed. They see that their children are doing well. They're fed and clothed, and they're happy. In other words, they expect nothing in return but for us to enjoy this provision. Now, if that isn't from our Heavenly Father, nothing is. They're not expecting you to earn it, to pay for it, but just to enjoy it. To enjoy the provision that they sacrificed to give us. And I'm going to go back to the scripture in Matthew 7. And if you and I, being evil, know how to be good to our children in that way, how much more our Heavenly Father, he says, is good to us and will give us the things we need. Our earthly fathers today are limited in what they can provide for us. I mean, we always, you hear dad say it all the time, you know, I just want to provide a better life for my children than I had. You know, it's always like, you always look at your own life as you're growing up and you say, well, no, I don't want my kids to have to go through that. I want to be able to give them a better education, or a better this, or a better that. And, you know, but we're still limited. We're limited in what we can do for our children. There's just some things we cannot do. I mean, if your children are born with a disability or in the natural, there is nothing you could do, even though your heart would break and you would do anything to change that. You know, so there are, we're limited in the natural as fathers to what we can do with our children. And most fathers always did their best with the means by with which they had to work within what they had to work with, right? But do you think God would do any less than his best by us? I mean, we do our best with what we have to our children. Is God going to do any less? And how limited is God? He's unlimited. Unlimited. By one sacrifice, God gave us a provision that's going to avail how long? For all time. It is a provision that's so large, we haven't even tapped into the smallest part of it. Provision that will meet your physical, spiritual, emotional, every need you have. That's the provision God has given us in Christ. In the same measure, how much has he given? The same measure as he gave Jesus. As he is, so are we in this world. As God has provided for Jesus for all eternity, so he's provided for you because you are in him. You are one in the Lord. Now, question. What is the reason that a natural father does what he does to provide a good life for his family, his children, his wife? Why? What's the reason? I mean, I hope it's the right reason. Maybe there's fathers out there that do it for show. I don't think anybody could do it that long for just show. There's got to be a reason, that's a drive that's stronger than the man himself. Otherwise, many, and I guess some do, will walk away and say, no, this is too hard. But what is the reason? Love. God so loved. And that, it's love. You love your family. Now, let me ask you another question. Do you love your family because they're perfect? Are your kids perfect? I mean, sometimes as parents, we want to believe that, but we know there is no perfect kids. There's no perfect parents. There's no perfect person. We all have our faults. Our kids are going to mess up. Our kids are going to miss it. Does that mean you're going to starve them and withhold anything? No, you're going to feed them and clothe them, and you're going to love them, and you're going to do your best by them, whether they obey you, whether they don't obey you. Why? Because you love them. The reason is love. So, is it any less with God? No. So, what brings joy to the heart of a father? Remember, we're talking about understanding the heart of a father. What brings joy to the heart of a father? I mean, I know there's lots of things that brings joy. I mean, it could be a football game on TV, but I'm talking about as a father. How does a father derive joy? To see his children happy and enjoying life. I love it when you, I love to see my kids laugh, and especially now my grandkids, when I see them giggling and laughing. And I mean, it's great. You don't want to see them walking around. When my kids are sullen and murmuring and, you know, long face, it bugs me. And I'm sure if it bothers me, it bothers the father. Why? Because somehow it's like, what did I do wrong? Like, it's a reflection on you, you know? So what brings joy to the heart of any father? To see his children happy and enjoying life. That's all he asks in return. So what would grieve a heart of a father then? What would grieve the heart? If it brings joy to see his children happy, then the opposite, to see his children in lack or need. I mean, if you saw your kid walking down the street with holes in his pants, shoes that had holes in them, and you, he looked like he hadn't eaten in a month, and you know that's your child, how would you feel? And then let's say you didn't have the means to change anything. I mean, your heart would be broken. Because that's your child. And not only that, that reflects on you as a parent. And so that's what grieves the heart of a father, is to see his children suffering need or lack in any area. So if we, being evil, which we are, you know, we're not God. How much more God when he sees his children suffering lack? And especially seeing as he gave it all, he provided it all, and he sees us with holes in our shoes and sick with disease and crippled and in pain, and he grieves the Father's heart, because that is the heart of a father. So we are God's children, and we reflect on him just like we as children reflect on our natural fathers. And you know, we know that God has provided all things for us in Christ, things we can't provide for our children. If he spared not his only son, how much more will he freely provide for you everything that you need? Everything, and not only that you need, that you desire. And he did it for one reason and one reason only, because he loves you. Now we know that God has provided in Christ for every one of us in this room, long before we were even born. Everything that you were ever going to need in this lifetime was already provided. Now, I know that's hard for us to understand because we don't see it. And for the most part, most people never, ever live or walk in that provision. And the provision is really our inheritance in Christ. And it's because we don't know it, we don't see it, and it's hard because God doesn't give the way we earthly fathers give. God has given us Jesus, and in Jesus is where all this provision is. And we, by faith, receive it through Jesus Christ. Whatsoever things you ask in my name through Christ is yours. But you know, in the Bible, the law first mentioned, I believe that wherever the first time a word is mentioned, it has a very significant meaning. And the law of first mention, the very first time the Bible uses the word provide, it was back in Genesis chapter 22, verse 8. And Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, the first time the word provide is mentioned is in the story. If you want to go back there in your Bibles, it's in the story of Abraham after Isaac was born, and God instructed him to take his son up to the mountain and sacrifice him. And we all know the story. And in verse 8 of Genesis 22, as they're going up the mount, of course, Isaac's wondering, you know, we have the firewood, Dad. We have everything. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says to his son in verse 8, God will provide himself a lamb. That's the first time the word provision is used, and it is connected to Jesus, to who was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, who is the provision for everything you're ever going to need, Emily, in life. Everything. Everything big, everything small. And in fact, we all know the story. So Isaac says, hey, Dad, I don't see any sacrifices. And Abraham says to his son, don't worry, God will provide a lamb. So they get up to the top and he builds the altar. He lays his son bound on the altar. And just as he's about to slay him, the angel stops, you know, Abraham, Abraham, and calls him. And, you know, don't do this. Now God knows. And that you fear him, or that you have more faith in him than you do in what you see in your son. But really, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a picture of God providing. He is not asking us to kill our children or to sacrifice. He will provide the sacrifice for our provision. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. Now, we all know, what does Jehovah Jireh mean? Jehovah Jireh means my provider. He provided the lamb, and that's the only provision you and I will ever need. And in that lamb, everything was provided. Your health, your healing, your finances, your prosperity, your renewal of youth, your mind, everything was provided in that lamb. And you know, a word for fathers, if fathers would rest in his provision, they would be able to provide in a much better way for their own families and also have time left over to enjoy their families if they just rested in God's provision first. Amen? Because our Heavenly Father is Father to all of us. Whether you are an earthly father or an earthly mother, he is Heavenly Father. He is our provision. He is our provision, enabling us to provide for those that we love. Amen? And so today, I want to encourage us. It's Father's Day. And I know, you know what? Let's be honest here this morning. There's not one of us in this room other than Jill who has a father in this room right now, who has an active father that we can go home and pick up the phone and say, Happy Father's Day. Most of us in this room, our fathers are gone. Oh, Elizabeth has a father, sorry. And, you know, I'm not saying that we all have earthly fathers. And but you know what? The Bible says, but even if your father in the book of Isaiah deserts you, you remember, I am really your father. And I don't care today what kind of father you had in the natural. Maybe you didn't have a wonderful father. It doesn't matter. Because in the end, all that matters is our Heavenly Father. And we all have our Heavenly Father. And he will provide all things for us. Amen? He will be a father to us in every sense if we just let him. And so I want to just encourage us today, even as we honor our earthly fathers, let's honor our Heavenly Father. How do you honor your father? Like, anytime you want to ask a question about God, let's not put God in a box where he's different. You know what? Earthly fathers get all of their nature and all their attributes from our Heavenly Father. So how do you honor your Heavenly Father? You know, even in the natural, if Lorelei comes to me and blesses me with something, let's say it's a sweater or something to wear. And the next time she sees me, I've got it on. And I'm wearing it with pride. Guess what? That honors her. That brings honor to her. Now, if she never sees it on me, ever, and she wonders what I did with it, that brings no honor to her. She feels, well, geez, maybe she didn't like the gift, or maybe she gave it away, or like, gee, I just wish I knew. You know, I tried to be a blessing. And you know, our Heavenly Father is the same. When he never sees us using the things that he's given us. It's when he sees us using the things that he's given us. He's given us healing. It's when he sees us well and healthy and bragging on him. You know, dads love it when kids stand up and say, you know, just like King David did when he faced Goliath. You come to me with a javelin and a spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. He was bragging on his God, on his father. My daddy's going to whoop you. That's what he was saying. That brings honor to the father. That makes the father feel like every sacrifice was worth it because my child is taking the things that I worked hard for, that I sacrificed for, and he's loving it, he's utilizing it, and he's giving me honor by doing so. And so this morning, let's remember, let's give God honor. How do we give him honor? By taking the things he's freely given us and using them, enjoying them, bragging about them to others. Speak highly of God and what he's doing in your life. Let the saints say so. You know, in the book of Psalms, if you read, there's many times where King David says, you know, we talk about the things of God. We talk about the things that God has done. That's honoring God for his greatness and all the things he's done for us. That brings honor to God. Let's remember to honor God, rejoicing in him, thanking in him for all these wonderful things he's given us. Even if you don't see it, remember, we stand in hope, rejoicing in the hope of God. That time, from the time you step out and believe God for something new in your life, Emily, I don't care what it is, you rejoice in the hope until you see it. And that gives honor to God. And God will skip over many, 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 many to get to you because you are standing and you're giving him honor, and you are waiting to use in the natural the things that he died to give you. Amen? That's giving honor to our Heavenly Father. So whatever provision we need today, we're going to partake of the communion table. You know, this brings honor to God. When we partake, we are really partaking of the provision. It's symbolic of the provision. The body of Jesus, which was given up for us, and the blood, which was shed to remove all of our sins. Did you know in this room, God's never going to punish you ever again for sin? Never. Because he punished his son for all your sin. And Emily, you might say, yeah, but what about tomorrow's sins or next year's? I got a lot of years to live. Well, Jesus already took the punishment for all of our sin. Even though we haven't committed them yet, it doesn't matter. He died on the cross long before any of us were born. So how is it that he could have suffered for anybody's sin? So he took all the sin of mankind, and God will never punish you. He has opened up the floodgates through the cross to continually, never without a fault, provide for you in the fullness of how he wants to. Not according to your mentality and your stingy, or even your performance, or even your riches in this life. But he is free now to just lavish, as a Heavenly Father, every good thing on you. That's what the blood did. Why? Because it washed away all sin, and it's given God the right to lavish and be affectionate in showing you how great his provision is. So this morning, as we approach the communion table, whatever it is that you need, this is symbolic. Let's take this and let's take what it is we need, the provision. Come, all ye that are thirsty, all ye that are hungry, come freely, come eat. And Jesus said, this is my body, which is given up for you. He also said, this is the bread of life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And so this morning, as we partake at the communion table, let's take freely from him. Just thank him, honor him. Take whatever it is you need. If it's healing in your body, if it's finances, I don't care what the need is. God's provided it all through the body and through the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice, the provision. Amen. So would